Hi, this is Christina Tarode, News Director with CertCIO.com. And today I'm speaking with Martin Davis, Executive Vice President and Head of Wells Fargo's Technology Integration Office. We're going to be talking about the ongoing effort to create a blended Wells Fargo-Wachovia technology model to convert 70 million banking customers. Thank you for joining me today, Martin.
Hello, Christina. Good to be here.
We spoke, I think it was about 6 months ago now, about the progress that you were making with the Wells Fargo and Wachovia technology integration. And at the time, you said that your team was about 80 to 90% completed on the technology work that needed to be done and about 25% complete on the customer accounts. Where does that stand now? And how are you ensuring that the team, your team, and the technology team is tuned into the experiences customer accounts are having during this integration?
Yeah, actually, in the past 6 months, we've made tremendous progress. Whereas before, I was telling you a little bit about the fact that we had about 25% of our customer accounts converted. We're closer to 80% of those accounts being converted now, with only a few states remaining to complete the entire integration. And our technology is probably closer to 95% complete. That's excluding the decommissioning work that will take place after all conversions are done. The decommissioning will be removing those legacy systems from either organization that was not selected as a go-forward system. So right now we're in great shape. We've got Maryland, D.C., and South Carolina coming up in the mid-September timeframe, and then that will only leave the North Carolina state in the October timeframe, and we'll be complete.
Whenever these types of integrations occur, you always try to keep in tune with what's going on with customer accounts. So are they tied into any kind of management system that you have?
We've developed a fairly sophisticated, what we call a customer selection facility, that decides when a particular customer is going to be converted. And that system has been allowing us to do our conversions over the last couple of years and to ensure a smooth integration for each of our customers, regardless of what state they're in. And so through the use of this customer analytics, we go through and determine the appropriate time to convert a customer, and we'll continue to use that throughout the process.
You're doing still such a large integration project. Could you explain where you really started and about the integration itself, what kind of methodology you used?
Sure. We started the integration back in January of 2009 when the consummation of the deal was announced. And at that particular point in time, both organizations, both Wachovia and Wells Fargo, had substantial experience in integrating financial institutions into their organization, but none of this size, scale, or scope. And so what we did is really put together a blended model of the two integration methodologies from each company. One of the first things we did is to make sure that everyone was on the same page. And so we created what we called a target operating model for each of our lines of business. And as the blended teams worked to come up with those target operating models, it allowed the technology teams then to understand what technology to apply to the particular business strategy that was being laid out by what we call these TOMs, or target operating models. Once that was done, we shared the TOMs across the entire enterprise so that one line of business would ensure that they knew what the other lines of businesses would do and how they were going to perform their particular integration activities. And we continued to share that throughout the last couple of years to make sure once we did an integration, everyone understood how things were working, and just to ensure that the entire enterprise had a big picture. Also, part of the methodology ensured that we had an integration leader from every one of our lines of businesses and support groups. And so as these individuals came together on a biweekly basis, making sure that everyone understood the overall game plan, and then we executed according to that plan.
You also developed what you called an airspace analysis to manage technology integration changes and continue to manage the day-to-day infrastructure changes. Can you talk about what an airspace analysis approach is and give me an example of how you used it?
We already had a very robust change management process, but this airspace analysis makes sure that we understand any change that would be taking place within an event window. So we call that our airspace. So if you think about the fact that if we're going to convert the entire state of North Carolina, we want to know what other technology changes or system changes are taking place in that window, and we call that our airspace analysis report. And we have three or four different teams analyzing that data to make sure that any particular change, we understand the potential impact that it may have on our conversion window or may have on our customers if that change were not to go in successfully. And so through that analysis, we determined whether or not we're going to move forward with that change, reschedule the change, or cancel the change altogether.
Do you have a specific example in mind that you could share?
Sure. Let's say, for example, we were about to cut over on one of our lending platforms. Let's say our mortgage systems, for example. We were going to move from Wachovia's mortgage systems and customers over to the Wells Fargo mortgage systems. If we were doing that, we would want to make sure that we knew the 3,000 or 5,000 servers that the mortgage company may be running on. We would not want to be patching those particular servers at the same time we're doing that conversion process. So that airspace analysis report would have identified that we had plans to patch the servers associated with mortgage, and we would have probably delayed that particular change and not have made those patch changes at that particular point in time.
What were the primary integration risks that you encountered or were expecting to encounter, and how did you avoid them?
You know, I think there are a number of integration risks that are out there, and some could be technology-related, some process-related, and actually some human capital-related. And, you know, one of the first things we wanted to make sure we did is retain the appropriate amount of IT talent from both organizations. And so we took a number of different steps to ensure we retained that talent. From a technology perspective, the airspace analysis is just one of the examples of making sure that we mitigated risk between collisions of one particular technology change having an impact on our conversion and events. Also, one of the things that we did is we made sure that we learned after each and every conversion and applied those lessons learned as we moved forward. So we very systematically laid out our conversion schedule from sort of our smaller environments to our larger regions. And every time we did a conversion, we'd apply our lessons learned from one to the next. And so that was very, very beneficial for us as well. So when we did have customer impacts, we minimized those and made sure we wouldn't have that type of issue going into the next event.
Did you have a specific lesson learned that, as an example?
One of the things that we identified early on is that we may have had a problem or an issue that only impacted maybe one or two accounts when we did some of the smaller environments. But then when we did larger environments, that same problem may have impacted 100 customers or 1,000 customers. And we weren't necessarily getting the feedback from the field when it was occurring only to one or two customers. So one of the lessons learned was we had to make sure that everyone across the organization, especially in our frontline tellers who were working with our customers, if they had any type of problem, they needed to make us aware of that immediately, regardless if it only affected one or two accounts. Because when we applied that same code to thousands or millions of customers, it may have impacted hundreds or 1,000-plus customers. So those are some of the lessons learned that we had along the way.
So now that you're actually moving into the final stages of the technology integration, what will be your team's and actually Wells Fargo's overall technology team's priority moving forward?
The priority will be to ensure that we don't lose this ability to execute horizontally across our organization as successfully as we've been able to do. To get an entire enterprise of 280,000 team members to move in unison and to execute flawlessly the integration the way we've done thus far has been a tremendous feat. And so one of the things we'll ensure is to make sure we keep this muscle memory, if you will, and apply it to other projects that will require horizontal execution across our entire company. One of those being a efficiency effort that we have underway, which is our Project Compass, which is set up to ensure that we're operating more efficiently across the organization as we move forward. So that'll be one focus area. The other will be the fact that over the last 3 years, the technology organization and all the other lines of businesses have pent up demand of changes that they would want to make in our environment. And so we'll make sure that we're focused on adding the additional features and functionalities to products that our customers may want as we move forward throughout the coming years.
Thank you, Martin, for your time today.
Well, thank you, Christine. I appreciated your time, and thanks for allowing me to share some information about Wells Fargo.
This has been Christina Schrode, News Director for CertCIO, with Martin Davis, Executive Vice President and Head of Wells Fargo's Technology Integration Office.